Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Sanjay Gahalot. How are you, Sanjay?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. You're a man from the Government of India, Ministry of Food and Processing Industries.
That's right.
How do you say it? MOFPI
stands for Ministry of Food Processing Industries.
Perfect. And you're the man who sort of looks after Indian wine, really?
Yes. I'm the officer in charge of the promotion and advocacy of Indian wine as far as the policies are concerned, and aggregating all the necessary efforts by way of bringing people who are concerned, all the stakeholders who are concerned with wine, on the same platform and get on with the business.
How long have you been doing that for?
I've been doing this for last 1 year or so.
Okay, so you've been quite new. But the India's been making wine for a long, long time. It's a bit like England, really. England's been making wine since the Roman times, but there's been a modern resurgence in the English wine industry and a similar sort of thing with India.
Yes.
But when was the first Indian wines made?
Very briefly speaking, India's tryst with wine, you know, experts suggest that there is a literary and archaeological evidence that the wine was known to India since 5th century BC.
Okay. Oh, that is quite a while ago.
Yes. And Kautilya noted the first known treatise on political economy and the statecraft.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about wines, and then we had Mughal emperors who brought Shiraz varietal, and they planted the vineyards in the Deccan part, which is a bordering area between Maharashtra and Karnataka and Hyderabad region.
Maharashtra is quite an important region for wine. So let's just understand exactly where it is.
Maharashtra is in the western part of India.
Yep.
And the wine making and vineyards, etc., are to be found in the Nasik region.
When people talk Western, you're around Mumbai or the old Bombay, as it used to be called.
Yes.
So, and you're inland from there.
Inland from there. Nasik is about 250 kilometers mm-hmm. away from Mumbai,
yep.
or Bombay, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah. Mumbai, and I think that's what everybody calls it these days.
Yes, yes. So, Nasik is the region, as far as Maharashtra is concerned. Primarily, we have about 70 odd wineries there.
Okay.
Medium, big and small.
Yep.
All taken together. So that's the scene.
Okay, perfect. And you're actually from New Delhi.
I'm from New Delhi.
Is there any wines produced there?
Oh, no.
No, that's
only consumed.
Only consumed, fair enough. Actually, I've been to Mumbai and down around that area of India, but I've never been over to the east of India yet. I need to get over there and have a look around.
Yeah. In east, interestingly, there's the state here. I'll show it to you on map right here. The state of Mizoram here.
Oh, right, way east, yeah.
So, I think from last couple of years, the vineyards are being established there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And because, as we know, the terroir, it makes all the difference, you know, it contributes majorly, because the wine is like human being, you know. Wine has its own personality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the terroir of Mizoram will have its own peculiarities. So we are yet to get any wines from there because the vineyards are quite young and new.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I think looking at about 2 to 3 years' time, maybe something will emerge from there as well.
Yeah, okay. Maharashtra is probably the main area for wine production in India. But my time in Mumbai, I remember being hot and humid. Really, really hot and humid. And I remember thinking at the time it was before I got into the wine trade and knew anything about wine, but thinking back now, that's not normally what I would normally associate with grape production. And also your latitude is, you're outside the normal sweet spot of 30 to 50 degrees latitude, aren't you?
Yeah. So Maharashtra is one of the major regions, but then in Karnataka also, in Nandi Hills, mm-hmm. that area, Hampi, etc., those are the places where we have vineyards. Karnataka.
What hills were they called, sorry?
Nandi Hills.
Nimdi Hills.
Nandi, N-A-N-D-I, Nandi.
Nandi
Hills.
Okay. Okay, and I tried some of the wines with you just before we came and did the show, and those wines were around there, from around
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, What was the winery called?
Kusma.
Kusma, yeah. Kusma. They were really good, actually. This Sauvignon Blanc, I thought, was well international standard, you know. Yeah,
thank you.
So I quite like that. It was nice and fresh, lots of fruit. Lovely, lovely.
So we have quite a bit of, we have several varietals from that area. So we'll talk about when we get on with the things.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about just the market first, because I think of India as a spirit country. You know, the biggest whiskey brands in the world are actually Indian. A lot of people don't realize that.
Actually, we consume more scotch than the total scotch produced.
Yeah, well, you can't do that. Does that mean it's
because a lot of counterfeit.
Yeah,
genuine as well as counterfeit.
Yeah,
so that's what I meant.
Yeah.
We are majorly, the liquor, shall we say, the spirit consuming country. But the trend for wine is because it's a lifestyle drink, and wine is also catching on.
Okay, yeah, because I remember doing a I was looking at the biggest whiskey brands. I was doing a tasting, and I was trying to work out what the biggest Scotch whiskey brands are. And I think in terms of consumption, it was India 1, 2, and 3 or something like that, which I was really surprised. And I used it as a quiz question. No one ever guessed that India is the biggest producer of whiskey in the world.
We started off with, we had fascination for Johnny Walker, Keep Walking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was some time when the economy opened up in 90s.
Mm.
Then the imports became slightly easier, you could get past customs. I'm a customs officer, actually.
Are you?
Originally.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Indian Revenue Service. So one bottle of one liter scotch was permitted that you could buy from the duty-free shop and you could bring in. The love affair with the spirit started with the scotch, and now it has graduated on to the single malts. We have single malt clubs, and people are majorly seeking single malts of all hues and shades, all kinds.
How's I know that there's been a lot of changes in the tax with India, and that's possibly why Maharashtra is popular now. I from what I've read, it's you get, if you grow grapes in Maharashtra, you get a big tax break.
Yes. There has been, we are a federal country, and we have the alcohol is under the constitutional provision. The alcohol can be taxed only by states.
Mm-hmm.
There is no federal levy.
Oh, okay.
On the alcohol. Now, the different states, there is one set of states that's namely Maharashtra and Karnataka who are producing alcohol, the wines, and they have this reciprocal kind of a regime that Maharashtra is giving tax concessions to its own producers, but taxing heavily the wines coming from, say, Karnataka. And Karnataka is paying back in the same coin.
Oh, okay.
So, locally produced, yes. And Maharashtra is giving 18%. The 18% is the standard rate of VAT. But Maharashtra gives to its own wine producers 4%, a concession, huge concession.
Yeah.
But it is taxing the wines coming from Karnataka. And Karnataka is also doing the same thing. Maharashtra wines going into Karnataka are being taxed.
Yeah.
And therefore, Indian Grape Processing Board, under the aegis of Indian Grape Processing Board, of which I am Chief Executive Officer under the Government of India, we are proposing that the wine should be brought under the future regime of goods and services tax, and within the reasonable limit of 4-5%, and treat it as the part of the food.
Yep.
If it becomes the part of the food and taxed as under the regime of GST, goods and services tax, which is in offing, I think within a year it will be in, then there will be unified national market, and the wines will be able to move freely across the borders, and the different states will not have different tax rates.
Yeah.
It will be uniform 4-5%.
But why has everybody set up in Maharashtra? Because the tax rate for the actual wine is lower.
Actually, Maharashtra is the wine producing region. It has the appropriate climate in that region, Nasik region. Nasik is a valley surrounded by hills.
It's not too humid because
No. Not Nasik.
Okay.
Nasik is valley, you know, it's around, it's the Ghats. So, and it has plenty of water. Mm-hmm. Rains are there.
Monsoon rains.
Monsoon rains, yes. So, Nasik is, it has been able to grow table grapes as well as the Vitis vinifera variety.
Yep.
So, Nasik is very appropriate, like Nandi Hills in Karnataka. So, these two regions and plus Mizoram, as I mentioned to you, they are experimenting with some vineyards are existing there as well.
Okay. I got some figures from somewhere that the grape production in Maharashtra was about 1.6 million tons.
That's right.
But only about 1 to 2% was made into wine. Is that right? So India is a big producer of grapes, but not a big producer of wine.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, our major production of grapes is the table variety.
Yeah.
And that we have been exporting also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And hugely successful. But as far as the winemaking variety grape is concerned, it is still considerably less. We have a long way to go.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That is that.
So let's talk a wee bit about the producers first, and then we'll zoom in a wee bit on the different areas.
Okay.
There's three really big producers in India, isn't there? There's Sula.
Yeah.
And I've had some of their wines in the past.
Uh-huh.
There's Grover, and then there is the other one.
Four Seasons.
Is it the Four Seasons? I thought it was...
Fratelli?
Yeah, Chateau Indage.
Chateau Indage.
Yeah,
Chateau Indage, yeah. Are not producing too much wines now.
Oh, okay.
They were producing earlier. But Sula and Grover are one of the major producers.
Yep.
Yes, that's right.
And Four Seasons, who are they? I haven't heard.
Four Seasons, yes. UB Group, Four Seasons is also catching on.
Yep.
And then we have quite a few others as well. So they are also, you know, catching up with... Krasma, you tasted the wine just now.
Oh, yeah, which were very good.
It's a husband-wife team, and they are making wine out of passion.
Yeah.
So passion is what drives. I must quote what Benjamin Franklin said about wine.
Yep.
He said that water contains bacteria, the beer contains friendship, and wine contains wisdom.
Nice.
So we are getting wiser.
Yeah.
And wines are good quality. Wines are being produced.
Yeah.
I'll also talk about, we'll flag this and I'll let you know about two, three initiatives that the board has taken in terms of national wine standards.
Yep.
Rolling out WineNet, which is a complete traceability program.
Is it what?
WineNet. That is the complete traceability system of the wines starting from the vineyard. The vineyards are registered with the geographical indicators. Entire process of growing the grapes to the crop management,
mm-hmm.
to the sourcing by the wineries, to the process of making, storage, batches, everything is traceable online.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is there an issue for that? And what is there a reason for that traceability?
Basically, we would like to inform the consumers from which vineyard the grapes were sourced, what were the viticulture practices followed by the vineyard keeper,
mm-hmm.
what time they were harvested, which pesticides or herbicides or fertilizers were used, if at all, or were they grown organically, and which batch is produced from which grape, sourced from which vineyard.
Okay. Is there a lot of, like, all through a lot of countries like Australia and America where the wine producer doesn't actually always grow the grapes themselves? Is there a big wholesale market for grapes?
Yeah. Winemakers, some of them, I would say the major ones have got their own vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is a group of farmers who are producing these grapes.
Yep.
They have to source it from the vineyard. So there is this clear separation.
How many producers are there in India?
See, 70 odd producers in Maharashtra.
Yep.
And about 24 to 25 in Karnataka.
Okay. And so you're looking at about 100 producers all up through India. So it's still not a big industry, but you make quite a bit of wine.
Not too big. Considering the size of India,
yep.
it is small. You know, everything fades into, you know, when you compare the overall size, 1.2 billion population, and the wine produced, if you look at the ratio, then obviously it is quite low. It's quite small. So if you go by average, I think we are consuming a tablespoonful of wine each. So, but then averaging is tricky.
Yeah.
Those who are consuming in the right quantity, if I may say so.
Target goals. I read somewhere, and I don't know if these numbers are up to date, that it's around 1.8 million cases of wine.
Yeah, that's right.
And about 20% of it's imported as well.
Yeah, we have imported wines as well. And Indian wine is competing with the imported wines. You know, we still have fascination for, obviously, all said and done. We are a new wine producing country, and in that sense of the term, in a manner of speaking, although notwithstanding, we have reference to wines in as early as 5th century BC.
Yeah.
But wine as we understand it today, we are rather young, say about 20, 25, 30 years back.
Yeah. Is there any taxes on import? Is there any taxes on imported wine? Yeah.
There is, as a matter of fact, considerable amount of customs duty on imported wine and liquor.
How much is it?
It would be over 100%.
Oh, that is quite high, isn't it?
It's quite high.
I've always thought it's funny, because China does this as well, where they tax imported products like wine really heavily. But I thought, as a member of the World Trade Organization, you sort of had to treat your local industries about the same as you treat foreign ones. But with wine, that's not the case.
Yeah, somehow this has not happened as yet. But maybe in due course of time, you know, we are signatory to WTO agreement, and then eventually, let's hope that there will be an even playing field.
Yeah.
For you know, different producers and different exporters and importers. But as of now, the rate of customs duty is over 100%.
Yeah, no, it's quite high, isn't it?
Because, you know, there is this issue of local wine producers, they clamor and they demand some kind of protection to the domestic industry.
Yeah.
To my mind, it's a very personal view. When the competition is there, you compete and you get better.
Yeah, exactly.
Artificially, if you put yourself in a cocoon, well, that may not be. In the long run, it will protect you temporarily, but in the long run, it doesn't really...
It doesn't sharpen you up. Yeah, no, that's true. And but, you know, you say that, but if you look at the tax on a 5 quid bottle of wine in the UK, it's over 50%, so 100% markup. But that applies to all wines, whether they're local or imported. So
I really wonder whether UK is producing any wines.
Yeah. There's 300, nearly 400 producers in the UK, and they produce some pretty good sparkling wines. Okay, I think we'll wrap it up there, Sanjay, and maybe next week we'll talk a wee bit more about the specific areas and a bit more detail about the grape varieties. All right?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers, bud.